Praise you, Jesus. Are you ready for the Word? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Say hallelujah when you get there. Hebrews 11. Verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now we know that faith has substance. Amen? Faith has inherent in it the power to allow us to receive from the kingdom of heaven's supply system. Everything we need, everything we'll ever need is already available in heaven. When God called you, He knew what you were going to need in your calling. He set aside a grace package just for you with everything you need. All the wisdom, all the strength, all the anointing, all the healing, everything you need is in that grace package set aside just for you through your calling. But you cannot receive withdrawals from that grace package unless you learn how to access it by faith. Faith is a substance that you develop through time meditating the Word that allows you to make withdrawals from your heavenly accounts. So if you need healing in your body, which you will at one time or another, you have a right, because God's provided it for you through the cross, to say, "I believe I receive healing according to the Word," and receive from your heavenly account all the healing, anointing, and power you need to strengthen and restore your body. Amen. If you need finances, it's all stored in that heavenly account. And as long as you're going after God's calling and not your own calling, you have a right to that grace package. Where people miss it is they think they can run off and do their own thing. You know, go after their own career, their own path, or, you know, establish their own assignment for God, and they have a right to that package. But the package is only aligned with you in your being in your calling. Do you follow me on that? The package is a supply for you for doing what God has assigned you to do. Does that mean if I'm not walking God's plan for my life, I can't access healing? I'm telling you, it could hinder it. Amen. Because when you're in your calling, you know you're on assignment of God and you have a covenant right to receive everything you need to fulfill that calling. Now, I still believe you can be healed even if you're running astray, because God needs you healed to get back on course to get into that calling. Amen. But when you're in the calling, whether it's to be in ministry or whether it's to be in business, whether it's to be someone taking care of the babies at home, whatever it might be, as long as you're in what God's assigned you to do for that season, you know you have a right to receive all the provision of the blessings the Word of God promises you. Amen. And faith is a connector between your needs and heaven's supply. Do you follow me? And so faith actually acts as our currency in the kingdom. Now, when you go to work in this natural world and you work your 40 hours or 50 hours or whatever you work, or 5 hours or however you work, they will pay you a paycheck. Do you follow me? For your time spent, they will give you a paycheck based on what you make per hour or what you make per week or whatever. And then that paycheck has buying potential, purchasing power. You can take those dollar bills they give you and go to Walmart or wherever you want to go, and you can use those dollar bills to exchange for the needs you have in your life. Right? So you go to Kroger's, you use those dollars, and you exchange those dollars for food. Now you have food in the house you can eat off of. And so what money does, it's an exchange medium that you really exchange your work time for buying power to receive what you desire or need in your life. We understand that as money, right? Money gives you buying power. Well, faith is purchasing power in the kingdom of God. You can use your faith to purchase. Now, understand, you're not earning anything from God. You're not buying anything from God. But faith does have purchasing power in the kingdom. Because you can build up your faith in the promises of God. And then when you need it, you've got a faith reserve built up that you can then make a demand by faith on what God has said belongs to you. And invest that faith in kingdom promises and receive that blessing in your life. Did you follow me? It's even possible to outspend your faith reserves attempting to purchase kingdom power. How many want to know what I'm talking about by that? If you have built your faith to a certain level, then that faith level you're at allows you to invest that faith in so much of the rewards of the kingdom. For example, one of the areas I use my faith is in preaching. I build my faith and I build, my spiritual reservoirs up, and I expend much of it in preaching. So let's say that I've built myself in the Word and prayer, praying in tongues. You know, I've built my faith up. Then I know if I step behind this pulpit, God's going to come upon me and I can minister the Word, minister healing or whatever. See, even a prayer line, that requires me expending faith. But let's say I do that one day, and I'm on a schedule like I was in Africa, and I'm preaching virtually every day, sometimes twice a day. And if I'm not preaching, I'm meeting with people, I'm teaching in the meetings. And so let's say that I go and I'm built up in faith, but I go the first day and I preach and I minister healing or I teach or whatever, and I'm releasing spiritual force that I purchased by faith. I say, Father, I thank you for the anointing on my life. You said that I'm anointed to do these things. I receive it by faith. And so I'm investing that. But I don't pray to rebuild myself up or get in the Word to rebuild my faith reserves. So the next day I do it again. And all of a sudden I'm expending more faith. And if I do that day after day, but I never get time in the Word, if I never get time building myself up, then eventually I'll run out of gas myself. I will have exhausted my spiritual reserves. Are you following me? And even get to the point that you just feel like you don't have faith to do anything. So as a minister, I've got to make sure I maintain a discipline in my life to keep myself spiritually built up. That when I expend, I have a replenishing time. Jesus expended faith all the time, but then he'd get away to the mountain or get away separate and he'd build himself back up. Even Jesus had to do that. And so faith is a currency and you can outspend your faith level. Amen. You can step out and you can try to get involved with so much doing work for God, you expend what you've spent time building yourself up into. And you run out of faith money. Praise God. So you've got to get back in the Word. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing, and hearing by the Word. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You spend time praying in tongues. And what happened is you're replenishing your spiritual energies. Now I'm somewhat crossing over and talking about spiritual energy and faith as if they're the same, but they're not exactly the same, but they do work together. And if you run out of spiritual energy, you're going to run out of your ability to use faith at a very high level. And so what happens is faith has purchasing power in the kingdom. And if you want to be somebody that's wealthy, really wealthy, build up your faith account. Well, I'm going to build it up, but I won't use it because I don't want to run out. I want to keep it for myself. No, understand, the more you use your faith, the more it expands your ability to have more faith. The more experience you get because faith works, that you can then use faith to higher levels later. But you've got to stay in the system of always reaching out and stretching in faith. And so, if you really want to be wealthy, learn to build your faith reserves. Learn to stretch yourself in faith. So many people are working for the money of this natural system, trying to be rich. And that money, there's things it won't buy for you. I mean, money will not buy you happiness. So many wealthy people commit suicide. Wealthy can't heal you of what the doctors, money can't heal you of what the doctors can't cure, no matter how much money you have. But faith can answer every problem you'll ever face, including bring money to you. So many people say, I'd rather have God than have money. I'll believe if you really get God, you'll get money. Because He's the God of the cows on 1,000 hills, right? The silver and gold are His. And if you learn to use faith, God will bring you finances. Amen. But faith is what God considers of utmost importance in our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it's possible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You've got to understand, God's looking for faith on the earth. This is when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? He's looking at your life and saying, do you really believe me, and do you believe my word? Are you moving towards believing my word more and more, and moving into the realm of functioning out of the supernatural more than ever before? He's looking for people that are moving into faith. Amen. Versus just trying to survive life. If you really want to be wealthy, look at faith as the currency that really has any value. And determine, I'm going to build up my faith accounts. Now, when we work for the natural system, we receive a natural paycheck. But when you work the Word, remember we talk about working the Word. Getting the Word, extracting the Word's revelation, getting that revelation to us. You're working, investing time and getting yourself built up in faith. Then you receive a spiritual paycheck. We'll call it faith bucks. Amen. In other words, you build yourself up in faith, you now have the ability to purchase things out of the kingdom. Now here's what's neat. If you build up your faith to a certain level, let's say you build your faith up to flu level, then your faith account, if you stay charged in the Spirit, your faith account will stay at the level flu bucks filled, if I can put it that way. And when the flu tries to hit you, you can use your faith and say, no, I've got money to cover that. I'm healed by his stripes. Flu, get behind me. But there may be some other thing coming on you, like diabetes or heart disease or whatever, that your account doesn't have that much. And you might say, yes, I believe I receive healing for this, but you're at flu buck level. And so you're going to have to work the Word. Amen. Because God's a rewarder of those who seek him. Until your faith account moves the level of now it's diabetes or heart disease or whatever level of faith that you can now access the power of God to be healed of that. So you've got to understand, the faith it takes to heal a nosebleed is not the same faith it takes to heal cancer. Whole nother level. Amen. Well, it's all faith the same. Faith operates the same, but there are levels of faith. Amen. I mean, there are men all over the planet right now that are praying for people that are being healed of headaches, but I don't see a whole lot of them walking on water yet. Amen. And however that has happened, there are people that have walked on water since Jesus by faith. And so faith has purchasing power. And you determine how much you'll build your faith up to be able to purchase from the kingdom. A problem we have in the body of Christ is people tend to only want to build their faith to the area of their current need. What's my current need? Well, I've got a headache, so I need to build my faith up so I can be healed of a headache. And they get the headache healing faith and they stop. They stop there. Well, the headache's gone. Don't work that anymore. When in fact, you should keep working it so that when headache comes again or even something worse, you've built up your faith account that you know it's not doesn't just work for headache. I'm healed of whatever. And when it tries to hit you, you can step straight into divine health because the symptoms can't stick to you. Do you follow me on that? So we should never be just stopping at break even. We should be always endeavoring to go beyond with our faith to be able to purchase more and more with our faith bucks, with our faith account. If we always just do where we're at, then when the higher level attack comes, then we have to try to always catch up. Did you follow me? You know, it's always harder to catch up than it is to maintain a lead. Amen. When you're even in a football game, when a team's ahead, the power's in their hand to control the flow of the game. And the team that's behind is having to stretch and shift their strategy and everything, trying to catch up. Same thing's true in the kingdom of God. It's so much easier to maintain a spiritual momentum in your life. That you spent time praying in tongues, you spent time in the Word, that you built your faith up. So when attacks come, you roll right over those versus you don't ever go beyond just trying to get through the attack you're at right now. And then you relax because you hit a comfort area, you know, there's no pain or no stress. And you don't continue building your faith. So when the attack comes again, it's bigger than one you had before. Now you're trying to catch your breath and build your faith and overcome that one. Versus it's so much easier just to stay on the offensive. To say, I refuse to not be building my faith today. It would be kind of like this. There are things in my life that I like. And there's things in my life that I want my wife to have. Amen? And I have a choice. We have a choice in our lives whether to work just to break even or to work to buy some other things in the natural. You know, if I was, we were newly married and I said, you know what, all I want is food on the table, roof on her head, you know, maybe, then I could work just enough hours in the week, some job that maybe didn't pay a whole lot, and I could work just enough hours, and every day I'd have food on the table. And we could rent, you know, a $25 a day room. We'll survive. But it's not going to be the condition she wants to live in, or even I want to live in. We like certain amenities in our house. We like having a refrigerator with food in it. Amen? And, you know, and in the house, washer and dryer, and you know, a bathroom that 400 people aren't sitting on, you know, 2 days before, or whatever, you know. Help me, Lord. There's things we like that you will never get in a break-even lifestyle if you're just trying to put food on the table and keep a roof over your head. And so you can choose, hey, instead of doing that, I'm going to go get an education. You can say, I'm going to go to vocational school. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get my GED. I'm going to learn some extra training, you know, go to some kind of HVA school or something, and I'm going to learn another trade or a higher level of understanding so I can make more money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So you invest your time, and even many times these take extra money. You invest your time and money to get more training so when you go back to work, you can make more. And now once you've done that, you can work the same hours and make more and be able to purchase more. Or even work more hours and make more and purchase even more times more. And live at a higher standard of life. Now, how many know that's what we target as Americans? We target living a high standard of living. Amen. We want the big screen TV, the cell phone, microwave, the whole works. Most of you probably have more than two shirts. You know, one pair of shoes. In fact, you probably have closets full of clothes and shoes. Amen. And the ladies have 4 bazillion purses. Why? You like those, that flexibility. You like those options. Lou has 47,000 hats. She likes hats. If we said, hey, Lou, you know, from now on, you just get one hat and it's going to say University of Tennessee and be bright orange and, you know, ball cap. She's going to say, no, that's not what I have in mind. That's not the vision I have for me wearing hats. But somehow there's got to be a purchasing reserve built up for her to buy the hats. Well, the same thing works in the kingdom of God. Your faith has purchasing power. And you can decide just to be a break-even Christian, that you don't want to do any extra training, don't want to invest any extra money or effort in the kingdom, and you can just say, hey, if I need it, I'll call upon God and I'll build my faith and I'll get it. And you can live a survivalist Christian walk, even in a charismatic church. And in fact, most charismatics live there. They'll work however much overtime they have to at work for their secular job. They'll bend over backwards trying to save 50 cents or whatever, you know, out there in the market. But when it comes to operating in the church, it's just like, how little can I do regarding building faith and operating in spiritual exercises? How little can I do and still be spiritual? And still, you know, overcome some situations. And I believe God's calling us to a much higher standard. He's saying, who wants to consider the kingdom as the true source of riches? Who wants to consider that maybe I have power in the kingdom of God that's worth much more than you could ever earn in your natural job? Now, I'm not telling you not to work your job. I'm just telling you, consider working the Word and working faith with the same intensity you do your natural job, or the same discipline or dedication as you do your natural job. Because I'm telling you, faith bucks buy a whole lot more than U.S. dollars. Amen. And where one is being devalued day after day, faith bucks are going up in value day after day, because they're buying things we can't purchase with natural dollars. And so if we would really focus on getting in the Word and saying, God, today I'm getting in your Word and I'm building on my faith reserves. Give me revelation. Let me work revelation. I'm going to get the confession cards. I'm going to work this into my life, because I recognize as I do that, I'm building up a spiritual account that I can later use and expend for the promises of God. I can use the faith I build to receive from God. And I mentioned this morning. And this is not trying to build me up. I'm just telling you, you have decisions to make. I made a decision almost 30 years ago to learn everything about the Word I could and to press into the kingdom. And when I met Pastor Callahan, he started teaching his faith. And he says, you can overcome sickness by faith. And he testified he had not had at that time the flu in 30 years. Now it's been over 50 years. When he testified, I said, I want to do that. I don't want to have to ever be sick another day in my life. And I determined to build the Word in my life regarding a hedge against sickness, that I would never be sick again. And then when sickness would hit, I'd work my faith. I'd work the Word. I'd dive in. I'd confess the Scriptures. I'd do everything I could to overcome those symptoms. And sometimes the symptoms were small. I mean, I've had hangnails. I've had injuries in my shoulder, or injuries or whatever, that I could go take a pill or go see a doctor, or have some symptoms hit, go get a shot, and it'd be over with. But I knew if I let the natural system take care of it, there would be no faith development out of it. And something in me told me, someday everything's going to be in the line and you're going to need to have your faith built up at that time and not trying to catch up. So I determined to try to get my faith where I was always ahead of the game on the offensive. Offensive faith versus always defensive faith, trying to catch up to the attacks of the enemy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can be where the enemy's pushing you around and you're just trying to gasp for air and overcome the attacks and the bombardments and the symptoms. Or you can get built up in faith where you take time every day working the Word in your life. This is not just because I'm in ministry. This is what I've been doing since I've been saved. And you can take time to work the Word into your life so when the attacks hit, you just blow right through them. I blow right through the attacks most people would probably succumb to. Why? Because there's a faith reserve built up. And there's a faith experience that's been established. So when I'm hearing everybody else calling, I can't make it, I'm sick, and this and the other, again, I haven't had the flu, I guess, in 21 years. I determined 25 years, 26 years ago when I heard the testimony, to do that, and now 21 years later, I'm flu free. And sickness free. I don't battle symptoms everybody else does. For the most part, are you following me? Why? Because I have a faith reserve built up in healing. And you determine whether or not you'll make investments and deposits into that, or whether you'll make deposits into the TV set or the internet or playing games or running around or whatever. Where are you going to invest your time? Because one produces an ability to purchase out of the kingdom, and one doesn't. Amen. And God said the just, the people of glory, will be the just that live by faith. So there's a requirement I believe God's placed upon us to build up our faith. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Without faith, you can't purchase anything. God said He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Well, how do we receive the reward? By faith. Because without faith, we can't please Him. He wants us to receive the blessing. He says, you can't purchase the blessing without faith bucks. Without having built your faith and maintained your faith and fueled your faith. Are you guys following this tonight? We were never meant just to kick back and if an attack hits, well, then I'll get in the Word. We were meant to have the Word absolutely energizing every fiber of our being. So we become the walking image of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Jesus? He wakes up one day. Of course, the night before, all he did was watch ball games and, in fact, for 2 or 3 days, he's just been involved in, you know, shopping and visiting and touring around and seeing the sights. And of course, he had never been on earth before. Well, not in that body. And so every time he went to a new city, he had to just tour and see the sights. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a marvelous temple. Look at the temple. Oh, look at the stones of the temple. And he's touring all the time. And then it attacks. Here comes the devil and attacks him. And he goes, oh, it's the worst attack I've ever known. Oh, I can't hardly take this. Oh, somebody pray for me. Peter, James, John, get over here and pray for me. Oh, I just can't take this. And then he's got to get in the Word and build himself up and say, okay, I finally overcame that attack. Do we see that in Jesus' life anywhere? No, he built up his faith that he had power over the things before they hit him. When the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted to the devil, it says. Here the devil hit him with everything he had. Do you know the devil didn't hold anything back? Hit him with every temptation he could. And Jesus just blew it off and said, it is written. What did he mean it's written? He's declaring the word of faith. When you say it is written, you're saying this is what the word said. I'm standing on the word. I'm releasing my faith in the word. So by faith, he overcame every temptation, frustrated the devil, and didn't bow to any of them. And we don't see him whining in a single circumstance. And he's our example. The charismatic church in America must rise up and take the offensive in faith. We must rise up and build our spiritual momentum to the point that we're running over the devil versus we're always recovering from his assaults. The church is so afraid of Satan. It's like, oh, the devil hit me. He hit me again. He hit me harder. I've never been hit this hard in my life. And I know those confessions because I've said them. I don't say them anymore. I'm not going to give him any credit. Amen. And I remember the days of faith building early where it felt like you couldn't hold on any longer. The attacks of isolation, the attacks of nobody liked you, the attacks of failure, the attacks of whatever, you know, weakness or whatever. Felt like you were just being hit up the wall one time after another. Anybody ever felt like that? Just felt like the devil had you up against the wall and just one hit after another. Do you know I don't feel that way anymore? It's rare I even feel a hit. Why? I've built myself up in faith. I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm trying to set forth an understanding of what we're to go towards. I don't have bad days anymore. I have moments of frustration until I get a hold of myself and say, wait a minute. This is not what the Word says. And I don't have where the devil slaps me for days or weeks at a time anymore. Why? Because I invested my effort spiritually building myself up and using my faith to a place that he can't hit me anymore there. And the danger is if you never build yourself up, he'll have you against the wall beating you up all your life. When I was a kid, we all read comic books. And back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, the comic books repeatedly would have on the back advertisements for something. And one of the main advertisements was Charles Atlas bodybuilding course. Anybody remember Charles Atlas bodybuilding course? He'd be on the back of the comic books. And it would go through his story of Charles Atlas. It shows him as a young boy. And he's on the beach. And he's talking to the girl. And some big bully kicks sand in his face. And there's nothing he can do about it. This was his testimony. He'd go through it on the comic book. Little story, you know. And so he determined that would never happen again. So went home and he started exercising. He learned this process of isometrics bodybuilding. Pitting one muscle against another. And if you send, you know, $2.95 to him, he'll send you his plan for bodybuilding. And then he'd show him, after he did it, he became Mr. America, Charles Atlas. And I guess repeatedly Mr. America, if I remember right. And he went and took care of the bully. And you can take care of the bully in your life if you learn to do his course. That was the whole message. And kids were sending off left and right for Charles Atlas course. I thought, why should I bother? I thought, what good would this do? And so the thing was, is he was being picked on at one time until he built himself up. And they didn't pick on him anymore. Well, until you build yourself up in faith, the devil will pick on you for life. He'll bully you every which way until you decide, I've had enough of this. I'm taking the offensive. And I'm not just going to do the minimum in the word. I'm going to get my chapter in. I'm going to say my little prayer, my little confession. And you decide, I'm taking the offensive. I'm going to spend time in tongues at home. I'm going to confess the word. I'm going to just dedicate myself to building my faith up. You know, Pastor Chad goes to the gym. I'm sure he goes an hour or two at a time when he goes. And you recognize he's investing that time in physical bodybuilding. And to us, it would be almost overwhelming to think we'd spend 2 hours in the Word. Or an hour in the Word, an hour in prayer. But in fact, without spiritual investment, there's no spiritual payoff. Do you follow me? Without faith comes by hearing and hearing. Without investing time, just like in your job. How many of you believe you should just be able to go to work and say, hey, I'm punching in, now I'm punching out, give me my paycheck. Amen. They have that punch card there for a reason. To track how much time you invested. And then they want to know why you're there. What are you doing with the time? In the same way, you just can't punch in and punch out on God in God's systems. Okay, I checked in. I read my verse, my devotional. I'm checking out, going back to the TV set. Okay, God, now bless me. You don't have any faith bucks in your account. Because just like it takes time to collect a natural check, it takes time in the Word and in spiritual activity to collect a spiritual check. Got quiet in here. See, we're the microwave nation. We want everything right now. I want patience and I want it now. And so we want everything on our terms right away. You know, we're wealthy. I should be able to buy it. Here's $50. I'll give $50 to church. Now just my faith bucks account is filled. Faith doesn't come by you sowing a seed. You follow me? It can activate a memorial before God. It could open doors before you. But faith comes by time meditating the Word. Hearing and hearing the Word. And without that, you have no purchasing power for the supernatural. I know why it's quiet. Because everybody's reflecting on their personal schedule, realizing how much, if they really did this, it would impact their personal schedule. I shouldn't say everybody, but many are like, oh gosh, if I did that, I wouldn't be able to watch Jeopardy at 7 o'clock every night. You know, I'd miss this TV show, I'd miss that event, or I wouldn't be able to do this, or I'd have to come to church more often. Some of you may regret coming tonight. But I'm telling you, if you get a hold of them, tell you tonight, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. If you will step out and say, I recognize God's not mocked. If I'll invest my time in kingdom activities, it will pay off. Now again, I'm not saying you can't have fun. When I go home tonight, I preached yesterday. I was involved in the meetings all year yesterday. In fact, I've been running since I hit the ground. Got back Tuesday afternoon. been full blast. And so, when I get home tonight, I'm going to sit on the couch, open some Swiss chocolate, pop me open one of my new Malta bottles, and I'm going to kick back and probably watch football. Or whatever my wife says I can watch. And I'm going to kick back for the night. Are you following me? I'm going to enjoy the time. But see, I don't seek the times of... My life's not centered around seeking the times of watching TV. My life's centered around building faith. Amen. And then I get to use my faith and enjoy my faith for the things God's blessed me with at the same time. And too many... I've got a message we're going to do soon. I don't want to tell too many messages because you may not come back when you hear them. But God said to seek His face, not to seek comfort. And if you find His faith, you'll find comfort. But we tend to seek comfort levels for our soul. We want to kick back and not do anything. Don't want to stretch our soul or, you know, work ourselves mentally. And so what happens is because we won't work ourselves mentally and stretch in the Word, seeking comfort, then we never find that place of building up our spiritual cast to access genuine comfort. See, genuine comfort's when the devil can't touch you. Genuine comfort's when sickness can't touch you. Lack can't touch you when you're above his attacks. But you don't get there through seeking natural comfort alone. And if we're going to go where God's calling us to go, is going to require a core of people. It won't be the whole church, because I know how the church operates. It's going to require a core of people to say, I want to go beyond. And I'm going to set aside time to take the offensive against darkness. And I'm going to invest myself in praying in tongues, even coming to all-night prayer. I'm telling you, those that come to all-night prayer or just pray before services, those that invest themselves in intercession, you don't know the rewards that are coming into your life. I'm convinced. So I've been praying in tongues now for 25 years. Every day in tongues, extended amounts of time for the most part. 25 years. And last Wednesday before last, it paid off. It paid off in an area money couldn't buy, money couldn't touch. And I was so glad I'd stayed the course, building faith and seeking God. And so we choose whether or not when these major things, events hit, these major challenges hit, whether or not we filled our account or not. Or whether we flittered away our time just doing what we wanted to do. Serious, isn't it? I mean, but we're talking about serious stuff. It's time the church get out of party mode. Celebrate, you know. And get into really being about the Father's business. I believe Jesus enjoyed life, but I believe He took it serious. He recognized there was an assignment on His life He had to accomplish. And there's an assignment on us. It's not about me. It's about the church. It's about the city being filled with the glory. It's about the glory going into all the earth. And God's calling people. This message tonight is calling people. Will you invest yourself in spiritual activity, spiritual exercise, to be ready for when I call you? You know, I'll go watch this football game tonight. At least Patty will probably let me watch it during some commercials or something. Pro football game, Broncos and the Patriots. And these are professional football players. When it comes time for a major play on the field, maybe somebody gets injured and the coach is going to look at, who do I put in that position? He's going to look across at his players and say, you go fill that spot. And he's going to find the most qualified person he's got to fill the spot. He's not going to point up at the stand and say, hey, you just won the ticket lottery. I'm making you my defensive end. Get in there. He's going to find the guy that is a professional. But let's talk about how he became a professional. You guys okay with this? Let's talk about how he became a professional. First of all, He may have been born large. He may not have been. But somewhere in his life, he decided to prepare himself for high-level athletics. So he's hitting the gym working out. He's hitting the track running. He's practicing. He's learning how to play football. He does it through pee-wee leagues probably. Probably does it through middle school. Probably plays football in high school. In high school, he's excelling. Because he's not only gifted, but he's invested himself in it. And then he gets to college, and a college recruits him. I don't remember what the percentage is, but it's something that probably one in a hundred college players even get to try out for the pros. But in college, instead of hitting the bars like everybody else, he's hitting the weight room. The college players today that play football, they lift weights around the college. It didn't used to be like that. They used to be, football players were big partiers. But now, the bar has been raised. Even during the summer that they're not in school, they're in the weight room lifting weights. Got a trainer teaching them how to build themselves up. So when it comes time that they finish their college career, maybe a professional team will say, we want you. Then they'll go try out for that. And go through grueling trials to see if they can even make the team. Once they make the team, there's no guarantee they'll play. They could be a third stringer. So they're waiting on the sideline for their chance to go in and make a difference in the game. And that one time comes up and the coach says, I need you. He points them out and says, you get in the game. And they get, you know, potential to become a star. The point is, it didn't just happen because they bought a ticket and their number was drawn. It happened because there were giftings on their life that they developed. And there are so many men that could have excelled in professional athletics but never did the work. Never did it. Never chose to apply themselves to where God had gifted them to be ready to make it big time. And we have the same thing in the church. So many Christians come to church and they think if they come, they get a ticket. And sooner or later, God will pull out their number out of the bucket and you won the spiritual lottery. Okay, you're an apostle. Or hey, here's the power on you. I'm sending you out to heal cancer. Or hey, I pulled out your ticket. That's not how it works. That is not how it works. We're not in a spiritual lottery. We're in a life's investment to take the gifts and talents on our lives and then develop them by the Word of God so when the big challenges hit, God can call your name. God can call your name because you invested your life preparing for that moment to be called. And then God can use you to do what nobody else can do. And He'll anoint you for it. When I think back to we started out with 11 of us, and Pastor Callum was number 12 of people that God called to be intercessors for Him. And many of them were very gifted. 11 of us, 6 left. Many were much more apparently gifted than I thought I was. Felt like I was, could minister the Word and had confidence and we're already out doing things. But through the years, especially the early years as Grace Ministries, covenant attacks so hit so hard, 6 of them left. One is now back with us. When we had that conference yesterday, that 6 that minister, or the 6 that are left out of the original 12, everyone in full-time ministry. Everyone operating in miracle power. Everyone. And the 6 that left, none of them are ministry. One's still in ministry. He's come back and is back under Grace Ministries. But the other 5, I don't know if they're even serving God. A couple are in religious dead churches, and none of them are in ministry whatsoever. But yet God had positioned them, had they stayed the course, they'd be in full-time ministry. Not like that's the highest thing you can do, are you following me? But that's what God had positioned them for. But yet when the attacks came, they wouldn't go through the attack properly, wouldn't stay in position, and they're totally taken out. So when I think back to this original 5, Pastor Jim, young whippersnapper, Pastor Philip. Jeez, Lord help us. Pastor Sherry. Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee, when he got saved, he said he was dumber than a rock. Amen. He had so fried his brain on drugs. But yet, God renewed his mind. He knows volumes of scriptures memorized. Devil casting out machine. We were called. We didn't know nothing. Thought we knew everything. We didn't know anything. And in those days, we'd pray for people, but hardly anything happened. We'd see a little healing here or there, or something like that, or, you know, somebody filled with the Spirit. I mean, it was party time. Somebody got filled with the Holy Spirit. We had to go testify. I prayed for them. They were speaking in tongues. Now, praise God for speaking in tongues, but we're seeing miracles. Back then, we didn't see any miracles. Just the ones we manifest by faith ourselves. We weren't seeing it in our ministry. And the prophecies were coming forth that this would be a ministry that would go into all the world. That Pastor Cam would be an apostle to nations. And we look at this team, we're going like, how? But here's what we did. For all those years, every day we all stayed in the Word. Every day we prayed in tongues. Every day we exercised our faith. Every day we refused to bow down to the attacks of the enemy. You guys know many of my testimonies. You don't know the testimonies of the other guys. Pastor Sherry was in a car wreck a few years back. Probably been 6-7 years ago. In a car accident. Got hit in an intersection. Crushed her foot. For some reason, she had to go to the hospital, looked at her foot, and it's all black and malformed. They said, your foot is crushed. She said, no, not a foot, not a bone will be broken, according to the Word of God. And walked to the hospital on it. Crushed foot. She said, the Word says, not a bone will be broken. Now, see, this takes it where you believe the Word. Because they're telling you don't get it worked on, you may lose the foot, whatever, the devil's screaming, you're going to lose the foot. She goes home, the thing swells up. Turns black. And she says, no, not a bone will be broken. I'm telling the testimony to know what we've done. And this thing lasted, I think, for a couple months. Where it hurt so bad, but still she'd walk on it. In Jesus' name, not a bone will be broken. Healed man walks. She'd walk on a foot. And I watched her walk out that thing, her foot totally restored, totally healed. Without ever putting a cast on it, without ever having a bone set. Why? Because we know there's going to be a demand placed on our faith. We've got to have used it. And I watched each one of us fight these battles, some in different areas. Pastor Jim's area was in, they took his water meter out of the ground. He was believing God for prosperity, quit his job. He's believing God for money. And I remember I'd take him over donuts. Big box of donuts. His kids ate so many donuts, they finally said, Dad, no more donuts. We need something to eat. No more donuts. They cut off his power. They took his water meter out. You name it. But now he's preaching prosperity around the world. And so, for 25 years, together now in covenant, we have worked our faith. And none of us run to the medicine cabinet or whatever, because God put something in us that says, no, you've got to believe the Word of God will do it. So when it's time to call a name, we believe we're positioned for it. Amen. A week and a half ago, God called my name. And I was so glad I'd prepared myself. Again, I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm trying to tell you how this works. I'm not here because I hit the spiritual lottery. You follow me? I'm here because of work. My wife will tell you, she probably doesn't know a man on the planet more than Pastor Philip fasts more than I do. She's always, are you fasting this week? Can we go out to eat this week? Are you fasting? It's not been as much as it used to be, and it's still been a lot in the last few years. Fasted the whole month of October, except for, I think, 3 days, something like that. The first years I was saved, I almost fasted more than I ate. And I never met anybody that fasted. I just saw it in the Word. And I said, God, I want to move in the power of God. And God would drop him, you need to fast. Have you ever heard the story about Pastor Philip in fasting, when he learned to fast? Understand, we didn't know each other when we first got saved. God brought us together later. And God did with him like he did with me, but I think even more like on steroids. He gets saved. He's on fire for God. I was too. And he was praying one day, and God speaks to him different than he speaks to me. He mentioned that yesterday. But God said, I want you to fast. And he got up and says, praise God, I'm going to fast. He goes and tells Alberta, his wife, Alberta, God told me I'm supposed to fast. She says, Philip, do you know what that is? He says, no, but God told me to do it. He thought he was just going to go on the anointing real fast. She said, Philip, that means you don't eat. And he goes, no way. So God called him to fast. He didn't know what it was. And when he was fasting, I was fasting. Fasted, fasted, fasted. People say, you're crazy. Family members say, what are you doing that for? Eat! I said, no. I need the anointing. I need God moving in my life. And if it means I don't eat so my spirit man can get strong, let's get on with the program. Now the point is we all have the same opportunity, the same minutes in our day to decide what we'll do with our time. Are we going to invest it in us? Invest it in the kingdom building activities? Are we going to build our faith? Amen. We choose how much of this we'll move into. How much do you want to be able to access the supernatural? Again, most Christians don't even believe in the power of God. But the charismatics that have heard of the power of God still think it's a spiritual lottery. That we show up and come to church, amen, we declare we can speak in tongues, and all of a sudden God will pull your name out of the hat and say, yes, you, I've called you to the nations. Yes, you, I've called you to birth a church. Yes, you, and that's not how it works. It's not a lottery. Amen. It's through time in a spiritual gym that you get built up, that God says, okay, you, now you're ready. God's not going to sign us until we're ready. Because he's not into assigning failures. You know why people fail in ministry? Because they step out before God sent them. Or they don't keep up and even expand what got them to the place where God could call them. They think when they get called into ministry, okay, they finally accomplished and they let off doing what got them to the place God could call them. But those that are wise, remember the wise virgins? Keep their lamps filled. And of course, that's an area I've got to be careful of, God warned me of. Because when I came back from Ghana, I saw the fire on the people of God there. I'm not in the mood to put up with foolish virgins anymore. There's people there that want their lamps filled. I'm not in the mood to put up with foolish virgins. Pastor Jack, pray for me. Pastor Jack, teach me. Pastor Jack, help me. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen you in church in 2 weeks. But yet, they want to come in here and suck my time that I need to be praying in tongues or in the Word for one-on-one counsel. And they don't even want the Word enough to come during the services to receive it under the influence of the pulpit. Now, I'm not saying if you call me, I'm not going to meet with you. Are you following me? You're here. I'm talking for those that absolutely refuse to feed themselves. There's a cost to be able to utilize faith. I probably wasn't like most kids. Well, not probably, I wasn't. But one area I wasn't like most kids is I saved money. When I was young, I mowed grass. From the time I was probably 12 up, I mowed grass. And most of the time I had money. Now, if I hit the right comic book store, the right candy shop, it might go. But back in the 60s, I remember, $30, $50, even more dollars in my drawer that I'd saved mowing grass at a buck and a half a yard, or sometimes less, sometimes more. A huge yard was $250. And I saved my money. When I got my first job in college, I saved my money. Everybody else is blowing it all on wine, women, and song. I spent it on the wine, skip the women and song. Everybody says these huge music collections. I'm thinking, I'm not buying an 8-track. Amen. I'm not paying the money I work for an 8-track tape. I knew they'd be blown away by cassettes and CDs later. Everybody had 8-tracks when I was young. Anybody beside me remember the 8-tracks? Amen. Spend half your time working on them. And so, I didn't blow money on music. I bought some comic books, that's all I bought, and I saved my money. When Patty and I got married, I saved our money. I was tight now, I was tight. I saved our money, but after we'd been married 7 years, on my house we had bought right before we got married, they had a stipulation. I could not pay anything on the principal for 7 years. I could just pay the minimum payment. That was the note we had agreed to back in the early 80s when interest was at 20%. And we worked a deal just to get it at 10.75%. After 7 years, I paid $30,000 cash down on my house we'd saved up just to pay it off. And paid our that was after like 5 years. We paid our house off in 7 years in Lexington. Because I was working it. And now, I'm determined to save. Shouldn't use the right word. I'm determined to build up my faith accounts. Now more than ever, I'm determined to build up my faith that I can operate in the impossible every time it's demanded. And there's nothing I'm doing that you don't have access to do. But so many people see what Pastor Philip does or Pastor Jim or Pastor Callan or me or whoever, and they go, oh yeah, I can't wait till my lottery number's picked. Oh yeah, I can't wait till God calls me to that. Well, you're not going to be called unless you're doing what we did. They're not calling people out of the crowds at the football game to come and play in the game. Much as you go and you dream, you take your own football, you got your own jersey. Remember the playlist. They're not going to call your name. Because you didn't do the upfront work and weren't gifted, apparently, to be on the sidelines at that time anyway. In the same way, we all want God to call our name. But not everybody is preparing themselves for it. Many are called. Few are chosen. And it's not because God's saying, I pick you and I pick you. It's because few position themselves to be chosen. If you'll prepare yourself, God will pick you. In fact, He'll pick you. He'll pick you. He'll pick you regardless. But He'll pick you to function at the level of faith you've built yourself up to. Do you follow me? And you can stop at any point at a level you're at and plateau and say, okay, I'm happy at this level, and stop. I'm hoping that there's something God's put in you that refuses to stop at any plateau level and say, no, I've got to go beyond. Now listen again. Enjoy your life. But let a fire rise up within you that says, I've got to have time in the Word. I'm going to pray in tongues regardless of what the devil tells me, whether I'm wasting my time or not. And I'm going to be about building up my faith account so when there's a demand placed, I'm ready to pay for it. There was a time in Patty and mine's life we couldn't pay for anything. We couldn't go to McDonald's after I quit my job. We're living by faith, not making any money. That's if I got paid. We couldn't send the kids to McDonald's. We had to believe God for, Lord, the kids want to go to McDonald's today. Somebody, we believe we received $10 to go to McDonald's. Somebody come and hand me an envelope, $10, and we'd go to McDonald's. I mean, it's how it was. And we couldn't go and buy anything. Now listen, I'm far from rich. But at least now if we want to go to the movies, we can go to the movies. If I want to buy, you know, another flag for my motorcycle, I can buy a black flag for the motorcycle. Why? I've got some money in the account now I can go buy with. It used to take all I had in my faith bucks just to believe somebody be healed. My Bible study back in 1991, 92, they'd come up for prayer and I'd go, in Jesus' name. They'd say, you know, I just have this pain in my wrist. Can you pray God heal it? Jesus' name. I took all the faith investment I had. I'd expend everything I had, you know, believing they'd be healed. They might go, it's gone. Thank you, Jesus. We'd have a party. God healed their wrist. Supernatural healed their wrist right there. And now, I mean, it took everything I had. Now, wrist, whatever. Let's just... Why? Because we kept going beyond that point. We serve a God that says there's unlimited opportunity if you'll move into it. How much do we want? He stands at the door and knocks. You determine how much you'll move through that door. I don't want to just open and say, hi, Jesus. I want to go in and live with Him. Work with Him. Stay with Him. How about you? Father, thank You for Your Word. Seal it in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. Cause us to rise up and fulfill high callings You've placed upon us. We thank You for releasing to us an understanding of our ability to build and release and live in the realm of faith. We thank You for creating a hunger in us for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. If you need special prayer for anything, I'll be glad.